Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tyro.
Well, it wouldn't be a little weird.
Bruro?
Eh?
I don't know.
Slip off the tongue.
It doesn't flow. I don't know. So, wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything that you can buy as far as, you know, the coffee to brew at home, you can buy it at the store. You can buy it online at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and you'll support the Bulldog Initiative with every purchase, just like you do with our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's what they wrote down here as the slogan. And what they're trying to tell you is whatever it takes to get people to come to your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. If you need new signage to attract customers from the road, if you need to be able to send out some great-looking mailers to your customers to get some repeat business, whatever it is, Pip Printing and Signs can help you. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing, switch over to Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you own a business, this is a no-brainer for you. Give Camden Baker a call at 601-499-5216 or visit them online, pipridgeland.com, to find out more information about what they can do for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for with the logos that you are looking for. We are shipping out this banner M. All right. I got a little angry. I think it was Friday. You know, I followed the Sickos Committee on Twitter. And they've been doing this cool thing where they overlap the logos of the schools with the state. So I was just waiting on Mississippi. It's like, it's going to look really cool. And what did they do?
The banner.
Banner. And I was just like, I've been looking forward to this for like 2 weeks. And so I sent them some of the other menus. And, of course, the people got on to me about that. They were like, who cares this much about a logo? I care this much.
Right. And if you don't, and if you're one of the people that says who cares, then stay out of it.
Then stay out of it. Yeah,
stay out of the conversation. Don't
you know what
get involved.
I don't care about. Do you ever hear me talking about the things I don't care about? No.
And those people now,
I don't care.
Those people now, they get so annoyed at the fact that we care about it that they are vehemently against the things we care about.
I'll care about what I want to care about. You care about what you want to care about, and if they intersect, great. Let's work together. But if they don't, shut it.
I guarantee you, you and I are not going to their Twitter accounts and complaining about things that they care about.
Yeah. Exactly. So I care about that. And you should.
Okay. Let's not get too upset here.
Yeah. Just calm down.
Just calm down.
Everybody calm the hell down. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Again, I've got to get back into some Southern cooking. I'm going to make a trip to Restaurant Tyler this week. Robbie, you are more than welcome to join me. I'd like some fried chicken, please, or some fried catfish, something along those lines, some cheese grits, some mac and cheese, some cornbread. That'll put me back into a Southern frame of mind. And, of course,
you've had your vacation.
Yeah. Now you got a de-vacation.
That's right. And the way that you do that is you got to get ingrained. It's a tough job.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. Not all heroes wear capes.
No.
Some of them have to eat fried catfish or fried chicken.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
That's you and I.
All right. I'm willing to lay down on that grenade. So, we'll
I can be your hero, baby.
I was gonna go more with like, and then a hero comes along, like that. If
What about holding
Eden
out for a
Restaurant
hero?
Tyler makes me a hero, then so be it. I'm the Superman of that hero group at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find out more information, to find the location near you, to find out about all the great financial services that Priority One Bank offers. They give you all of those great services that you get from the big corporate banks, but they also give you that small town feel, that community feel, that local neighbor service that we're all looking for. So it's really the best of both worlds. If you're looking for a new bank, if you're tired of dealing with these big corporate banks and you want to deal with someone who can provide you all the same banking options that the big bank does, but without all of the other stuff, then you need to talk to the good people at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey there, Robbie.
Well, hey.
So, today we will get to be. I don't think that I will, but because I've got I've got an interview lined up, but. Today is the first time that Mississippi State has opened practice up to the media. It's only a 20-minute viewing period. Apparently, you know what? I'm going to be honest. When it comes to practice, I really want one extreme or the other. I want full access or I really want no access. You know, so 20 minutes? Eh.
I'd rather it depends just say, on no. What we're getting.
Yeah, I would rather just be like, just don't come.
If we're only going to go out there and see like them stretching,
yeah,
then just don't waste my time.
Don't open it up. But at the same time, if you're going to open it up, open it up. Let us out there. Let us be there the whole time. You know, and we'll go from there. But whatever.
And here's the thing about it. Like, I don't want to be out there every day. It gets real. I don't know if you've ever been, not you personally, but the people listening. I don't know if people have ever been to like multiple football practices in the same time period. But they get very repetitive. You don't really learn a lot per se. What I really want to see is who's working where they are kind of on the depth chart, things like that. I don't care to go watch every single practice all the way through or anything like that. But I would like, you know, one or two practices just to see where things are.
I agree.
So if we go out there Tuesday and we're watching them, you know, run out on the field and start stretching for the first time, and after 20 minutes they start to get into their team stuff and we don't get to see anything, it's just a colossal waste of time.
Agreed 100%. So, and then it's pro day at Mississippi State today, on Tuesday. So, could be some interesting stuff there. You know, Buki Watson. Jet Johnson was not invited to the combine, so this will be our first chance to see him and his draft preparation and how that's paid off. A lot of guys out there. Tulu Griffin will be there. I would expect him to run, right? He didn't have a great 40 at the combine, so I would expect Tulu to be out there and try to show a little more speed. Would you agree? You think he'll run?
I would if I were him. Because it wasn't a great showing. I believe he could do better. So I would to try to improve my stock. I don't know if he will.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the protocol is on that. But I don't know what – you know, this is kind of a strange pro day to me. Like, I don't really know what to expect out of it. I think D'Cam Richardson is obviously – a guy to look out for to see what he looks like at pro day, but there's not any, you know, surefire like high draft picks out there. There's not a bunch of guys in this group that I think are going to get drafted. So it's going to be interesting.
I feel like there's three guys who could have good pro careers in this group, but they will be, you know, and you don't hear role player a lot when we're talking about NFL, you know, role player is more of a basketball, baseball kind of thing. But I think Buki Watson can be a role player. I don't think he's a three down linebacker in the NFL, but I do think he can be a guy who, you know, in running situations and goal line gives you a big physical linebacker. So he can play a role there. Tulu Griffin can play a role because he's got speed and he's a good special teams guy. And I think Jaden Cromedy, when he's at his best, can be a guy who plays in the NFL. The word out of the workouts were that he wasn't overly impressive in those workouts coming out of the combine. But he's a guy that I know that when he plays at his top level is an NFL guy. And then Jet Johnson is such a smart, heady football player that, again, he's sort of the same as Buki, but again, he's not as athletic as even Buki is. So if I'm telling you that Buki Watson can't be a three down linebacker, I'm certainly saying the same thing for Jet Johnson. But you know, could he play a role out there? I think so. You're probably going to have to go the undrafted free agent route for sure. I think Tulu and Buki will be drafted. Cromedy, maybe, and then beyond that, I don't really know. So that'll be an interesting, just to see pro day and see. I'll be interested to see how many teams are here because there's not an Emmanuel Forbes. There's not we'll never have another pro day like we had in 2019 when Simmons and Sweat and all those guys were there to be seen. And now you had every team with so many people were at that pro day. I don't think we'll have one like that. But as the second week of spring practice begins here at Mississippi State, I was on Cole Kublick's show earlier on Monday, and he talked about, the speed in which things can get installed. Is that what, if we get a chance, we'll talk to Lebby, I think, on Wednesday. The speed of installation seems to me to be the biggest concern. And I'm not saying it's a concern, but I am saying that's probably what Jeff Lebby has first on his agenda at each and every practice. Don't you agree?
Yeah, that's been what they've been basically working on the most, I think, so far in this offseason. And you look at this offense, even with Mike Leach, when they were running the air raid and they're throwing the football 50-plus times a game, it was not a fast-paced offense. It was not a, hurry-up offense. Dan Mullen at times was kind of ball control. They would run fast at times with some tempo. Jim Moorhead sometimes. This program has not run at this speed, I don't know, ever. I mean, can you think of another time at this?
No, Mullins, I think it was the Dax last year. They talked a lot about going with pace and going with tempo. And in the first couple of games, they showed that, and then they kind of just reverted back to old habits.
Yeah,
they've never been a tempo offense here at Mississippi State.
That's been the case for several coaches at State. The tempo comes and goes. This is real tempo. This is what it's going to be at all times. And there's going to be possessions that last 10 seconds because it's, three incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be possessions that last 15 seconds because it's a touchdown. That's how fast they're going to go. And that's why they're working on speed. That's why they hired
Jaworski Beckham.
Is that his name?
What a great name, by the way.
Great name. And they've been talking about Creed Whittemore talked about how much faster they've gotten. Mm-hmm. They've got to be well-conditioned to run this offense. They've got to be faster.
You're going to see 30, 40-second drives, but those are going to be 3-4 play drives. They're going to be, just have big plays. And then when you see a 10, 11 play drive, it may only be a couple of minutes off the clock. That's the kind of speed that they want to work with here.
I mean, I hate continuing to bring up Ole Miss when we talk about Jeff Lebby, but look at what they did.
You have to bring them up, Robbie. You don't have any choice.
And I think they were fast. I don't know if I have this correct or not, but I think they were faster with Jeff Lebby than they were with Kiffin even. Like, I think they've been a faster-paced offense with Lebby when they had Matt Corral. And maybe that just has something to do with Matt Corral. I don't know, but – I remember them being like between plays, one of, if not the fastest offenses in the country getting the snap off.
In 2020, the 2020 season, Ole Miss averaged 81.6 plays per game, which was fourth nationally. So go to last year and Ole Miss was 26th at 73 points per game. Plays per game.
Plays.
So not eight points again. Up eight. I can't do it. Eight plays per game less under Weiss and Kiffin than under Lebby and Kiffin.
Yeah. So,
and then by that same token, let me see, where's Oklahoma? Oklahoma's ninth on this list last year at 76.2 plays per game. So they played at a high tempo. And, you know, I think about when Leach first got here, there was that, you know, remember Mississippi State fans who had grown up their entire life, Mississippi State was a run-first football team, really wanted to pound the football. Even when Dak was there, they were running the football predominantly. And it was a huge culture shock to watch the you know, remember that first game against LSU, and you're like, they threw for – the first game against LSU is such an outlier and such a – it's tough to use that as a starting point. But they threw for 600 yards in that game, and you're just like – you'd never seen anything like that for Mississippi State. That this is going to be like that again, especially – if you just came in last year and watched that offense versus this offense, I mean, it's going to be a stark contrast. But and you've talked about this. I saw you talking about this on the I believe on the message board on 3 that it benefits a defense that we don't know a whole lot about and that we don't have the highest of hopes for to have an offense like this that can, you know, sort of dictate the tempo and keep people off balance because you know, they're going to have to be able to do that. They're going to, you can't, I grind it out, try to, you know, try to control the clock kind of offense. It sounds counterintuitive, but a control the clock, grind it out kind of offense is not what you want when you're not totally sure about your defense.
No, it would be a disaster this year if State was running the same offense they did under Kevin Barbet. Absolute disaster. I think this offense is going to give them a chance to win ball games that they wouldn't normally win because of the speed that it operates in, because of the space that they utilize. They're going to score a lot of points. It has everywhere it's been. I refuse to believe that it's not going to do it here. I think this offense is going to be tremendously better. How much better is that in terms of wins and losses? I don't know. But I think they're going to be faster. I think it's going to be more exciting. You're going to see more explosive plays. And the running game is, I think, what benefits the most from this from Mississippi State because they're going to take a lot of pressure off that running game. They're going to have a lot of space out there, like I said, for the running backs to operate in. And that to me, makes me feel better about the group that they have because they don't have any – real true difference makers in the fact that those guys have gone out there and proven it in a big way. But what we've seen in the past with Jeff Lebby's offenses and Josh Heupel's and Lane Kiffin with Jeff Lebby is the running backs have been kind of interchangeable. No matter who they put in there, they've had success in the running game. Quinshon Judkins, whether he was in the game or not, they were having success running the football. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, predicated solely on what Quinshon Judkins was doing or Henry Parrish or Bentley or any of those guys. Like, I think that Mississippi State is going to be able to run the ball and keep defenses on their toes and also have some explosive plays for their wide receivers this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. One thing I'm fascinated by is, you know, I think about Moorhead's first game at Mississippi State, right? They put up 63 points. Keaton Thompson set a record for touchdowns in a game. But if you go back and watch that game, you remember Keaton was like, his completion percentage was like 40% in that game. I mean, they hit a lot of big plays against an outmatched opponent, but the offense didn't look particularly sharp, if that makes sense. You know, it was just a question of they were just completely out-talented. I mean, the first play of the game was like a 60-yard touchdown pass where they just swung it out to Kylan Hill and he outran everybody, and it was a great play. But, you know, it's a play that in all likelihood in an SEC play is a gain of 5 at best.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, you know, and we're obviously a long way off from game one, but does it just look smooth? You know, are you completing the passes? Are you hitting those big shots down the field? Are you getting 7, 8, 9 yards a carry against a completely outmatched FCS team? You know, in retrospect, obviously, and we can play a whole lot of hindsight as 2020 on last football season, but we were probably, you know, watching that first game, they had some struggles offensively in that game. And you and I kind of, I think we were both just like, it's not that big a deal. And it turns out it was actually a huge deal. And I just think in this first game, like I think Lebby is going to when you get to that kickoff game against East Eastern Kentucky, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I just feel like that's whatever the over in that game is, I might be willing to take it. I just feel like he might put up like 65, 70 points in that game. Just to get State fans. You remember, we talk about all the time with Mullen, that the first play of the game was the double reverse pass, and that was just kind of his way of saying, hey, things are going to be different now. It's going to be okay. I think Lebby needs to send that same message. I'm going to continue to harp on the similarities between year one of Mullen and year one of Lebby. I feel like there's a lot of similarities. I don't know that the results are going to ultimately be the same, but
it feels like it's either going to be Mullen or Morehead.
Right, but I feel like it's a lot more Mullen.
And I'm not just saying that because we've been confident about every single coach that's come in.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that.
Yes.
We have been optimistic about every single new coach. And, I really do believe, and this is me being cautious too because I've witnessed the Moreheads and the Zach Arnetts. I really do believe that I'm siding with you, this is closer to Dan Mullen than it is Morehead.
Yeah.
And the reason I believe that, I think that Jeff Lebby has been around enough really good head coaches and, more importantly, guys that run really good programs in some good conferences that he has taken enough from that. He knows how to run things. He knows how to run his own program and kind of build it that way. And you can say what you want to about Art Briles. I'm not going to get into all that, but Art Briles was running a machine at Baylor. That program was churning out really good offenses, really good teams that were consistently competing. What he was doing from a coaching standpoint cannot be argued. He would have been still coaching to this day and maybe even coaching somewhere else. I don't know, but and probably would have some conference championships, played in some playoffs. Art Briles was doing big things. And you know what he's learned from him. Josh Heupel's been really good now at UCF in Tennessee. Lane Kiffin is right now one of the best coaches in the country, has a program that's operating at a very high level. And I think Brent Venables is starting to get things going in Oklahoma. So this is a guy that I say it time and time again, had he not been involved and caught up in that stuff at Baylor, would probably already be a head coach. So talking to the guy, having seen what he's done so far, how his program works, I think, and I am going to lean more towards a Dan Mullen type hire from Mississippi State over Morehead and a guy that just is kind of, caught up in it all and is listening to the noise too much. I just don't get that from Lebby. Also, feel like he's a guy he's not going to take any crap off of the players. And there's no question who is leading this program. He's a player's coach, I feel like. Players love playing for him, but I think he kind of sets the tone. And, he can be tough too, which is what you need.
I agree. So we're supposed to talk to Lebby again on, like I said, I think it's on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, but I'll have to double check. I haven't memorized the schedule from the email, but I'll be interested. It's like I said, talking about speed of installation, where he feels he is after, I guess, four practices. I go back to Leach and, he talked about, you can get the system installed so quickly. And then they had those issues in his first year. So, I want to see if you feel like you got it installed and everybody's on the same page, I like to see the offense look like that. So we'll see if that's the case. Somebody asked an interesting question. I think it was, again, on the On3 message board. But, some coaches take spring games and they're just like, I'm not that interested. I'm not trying to do too much. Some coaches really embrace the spring game and want to show off, especially when you have a new coach. Do you feel like Mississippi State, when they get to that spring game, it's going to be they're going to try to make it entertaining and show off as much of this offense as you can in that scenario?
I got to think so. A guy that runs an exciting offense, I think he knows, the offense sells the tickets. So it would surprise me if they came out there and they were conservative or something like that, which, what do you really take away? We saw some big plays in that spring game last year, and then look what the offense did. So I don't know.
I just feel like, I always go back to Kroom, and that 0-0 spring game should have been a sign for everybody. But
yeah.
we'll see how it pans out. Let's
talk or, about, 2004 should have been a sign for everybody.
That's a story. Yeah, that's a podcast for another day. Let's stay on football, but we'll move into our positional breakdown. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're trying to cook out this weekend, I'm just telling you right now. If you're having a cookout, if you're bringing folks over, and you tell them, hey, we're cooking steaks, that's going to be a happy crowd for sure. So head to your local, your grocery stores, your butcher shops, your meat markets, and talk to those guys and put some red meat on the grill this weekend. It is grilling season. The weather's great. Let's get out there and grill it up this weekend. Do it with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And again, it's just another stop I got to make. I got to get back on the train there, get some smoked wings and a couple of maybe a pulled pork grilled cheese. I haven't had that in a while. That's a very underrated sandwich on their menu. We don't give it enough.
I mean, just don't even look at the menu and point at something, and you're probably going to eat something good.
Agreed, 100%. So,
and don't forget your pork rind nachos.
Yeah. It's smoked Southern Ooh, soul food. Yeah. It's smoked Southern soul food in the heart of the Cotton District. It is Two Brothers Smoked Meats. It's too bad that Advantage Business Systems can't get that,
You need a new copier?
Something like that. I don't know. Advantage Business Systems, though, if you do need a new copier.
Create an AC/DC jingle with their number in it.
Yeah.
601-362-9192
to the tune of TNT.
Yeah. 601. Yeah, there you go. I we're on the same page there. God, how did this happen? How did AC/DC impressions become our thing? I don't know. Well, I
know it all started with the who would we bring to David yes. Boyd Stadium for
yes.
the show.
Yes, that's correct.
We started talking about them trying pork rind nachos for the first time and blowing up toilets.
Holy yeah.
601-362-9192. If you need business supplies, call Advantage Business System. Sorry, guys. I'll do better next time on that one. If you're headed to Starkville, if you're coming to a sporting event here in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. planned before you get to the stadium. If you're looking for new gear, if you're looking for great logos, straight state script, M over S, Walking Bully, Interlocking, whatever it is, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Unique items you can't find anywhere else. And, of course, they are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want one of those awesome new Wild Gear cups that you're seeing, that we shared it on Facebook this weekend, shared it on Twitter, you're only going to be able to find them at Maroon & Co. Before you head to Duty Noble, you head to Maroon & Co. All right, so wide receivers. This is a group that's you're going to see new faces. There's going to have to be production from elsewhere, shall we say, because you just don't have the kind of known commodities at that position from a season ago coming back that make me think, last year when you brought back Tulu Griffin and Xavion Thomas, I was like, okay, those guys can be playmakers in the right system. And I didn't know at the time they weren't in the right system. This year, I look at the new guys. I look at Kelly Akari and Kevin Coleman, and then I look at Harrell, Burnside, Craver, and McGee. I guess McGee won't. Is McGee's not an early enrollee? Is he? Are they already here?
No.
Okay. So that's where I think that they're going to find the most work. I mean, when you look at last year. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hadn't looked at the receiver stats. After 3 years of
turn away.
After 3 years of leech, everybody Brian. With like 30, 40, 50 catches, it's just shocking. So Tulu Griffin, 50 catches. Xavion Thomas, 40 catches. Gone. Tre'Quavius Marks only had 23 catches last year, but he was your fourth leading receiver. Freddie Roberson's gone with his 11 catches. That was your fifth leading receiver. Hold on. I got to know the answer to this. Hold on a second. I got to know. I'm going to have to know. Fifth leading receiver last year had 11 catches for Mississippi State. Fifth leading receiver for Mississippi State in 2022 had... Oh, God. It's a big difference, as you might can guess. One, two. Why are these not in order? Well, it's over 40. I'll put it that way. It's over 40. So, huge difference there. The leading returning receiver for Mississippi State is Justin Robinson, who had 21 catches a season ago for the Bulldogs. Didn't have a touchdown. Then it's Creed Whittemore. Creed Whittemore had 11 catches. I honestly don't remember him having a catch after the first game of the season.
Yeah. And it just completely misused that kid, man. He could have helped them a lot more than he did.
Yeah, they could have. And then he had Antonio Harmon with 14 catches. My favorite stat on this, by the way, is Rylan Goedy, one catch, 18 yards in the last game of the season.
Yes, he was so pumped, too.
That might have been the loudest the press box cheered the whole year. We were all looking at you like, was that Goedy? Was that Goedy?
Me and you were like Rudy's friend and his dad.
He's so little.
We were like hugging each other.
Rylan Goedy. So this group this year, Robbie, I think day one, your top guy is Akari. Because this is a big play offense. They want to push the ball down the field. They want to be vertical. He was a guy who averaged almost 22 yards a catch a season ago at UTEP. He's got to be the main guy coming into this season, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I like the group as a whole. I really do. I think that – and talking to Creed Whittemore, too, the other day, when he's talking about this this offense and Coach Lebby especially, he said there's just like a totally different feel in that building. And they're excited about the explosive plays. They're excited about all of the opportunities they have in this offense. I'm really optimistic about what they're going to be able to do. And I like the group that they have too, the guys that they pulled out of the portal, the guys that they've got, the freshman class as well. I think it's a good group, but you're exactly right. I think Kelly Akari is, to me, the alpha of that group, the guy with the most potential to get them the big plays and 1,000-yard receiver already in college football. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of been there. I hope that he has a much better season than Freddie Roberson did last year, who was a guy that was kind of similar coming in.
Yeah.
Getting him in the spring, I think, is a different deal because you didn't get that with Roberson.
Yeah. Now, Roberson might have had like 14 catches had he been.
Yeah. There. I mean, it could have been a monster year.
Huge difference.
That too is like, I don't put a lot of that on Freddie because I just think that staff just completely misused this whole offense last year.
Agreed.
The roster was just completely misused. Yeah. And there were guys there that you could do some good things with, and they just did an awful job at it.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening with Jeff Lebby.
Agreed. And then Kevin Coleman is the guy. I mean, two different schools. This is his third school. He's at Jackson State with Deion year one, left with when Deion left, goes to Louisville, catches 26 passes last season. You know, for his career, 59 receptions, 872 yards, right at like 14 yards a catch, 4-5 touchdowns. I mean, he's just been a solid contributor at both schools. There's no reason to think in this offense that can't continue.
The guy from Louisville?
Yeah.
Why is his stats not show up on the Louisville page, by the way?
Maybe they're very vindictive. I don't know. I went to ESPN for his stats.
Okay. That's a guy that is kind of a wild card for me because he's done it at wide receiver, but he's also been an electric returner. So – to me, you kind of replaced Savion Thomas right there with him. He was the freshman of the year, newcomer of the year, whatever in the SWAC, play for Deion Sanders, and then immediately it makes a difference for Louisville in year one. And you know how Deion was recruiting at his time at JSU. That was a big time recruit for him, and immediately jumped off the page there at Jackson State. I don't, you know, this shouldn't be any kind of major transition for him.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a Travis Hunter or anything like that, but I think he can definitely translate his game like Hunter did from one level to the next. So, I'm expecting a lot from him, and there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize him. You can move him to the outside. You can have him on the inside. Obviously, he's going to be a big part of things at punt returner, I think, and at kick returner. So, I'm really excited to see him work because he's definitely an electric playmaker.
And then you have the freshman. And I think the one that's standing out, at least from what Creed Whittemore had to say, is Mario Craver. And I think the reason he's standing out, Robbie, is very simple. Speed. He's the guy with the elite speed who can take the top off of a defense. I think Harrell and Burnside will be big players for Mississippi State. They could end up being starters by season's end. But Mario Craver, you know, to go ahead and get a start on our three Ps for the fall, he's an X factor for this team that if he can show up and provide just that extra vertical for Mississippi State, it's going a long way for Jeff Lebby in year one.
Every single time we've heard somebody talking about a freshman in the spring or like early fall, you know that dude's going to be legit. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've already started hearing about Mario Craver in three practices, two. Yeah. I think Lebby might have talked about him too. They've started talking about him in the first or second practices. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. I think State got a steal there with Mario Craver, kind of getting him late in the process. He kind of been slept on and forgotten there late, and then he had that big Under Armour game. I think he's going to be a guy that can help you, and he's working there at slot with Creed Whittemore. Creed was very high on him as well. Both Craver and Burnside have gotten a lot of remarks early on. It would shock me if those two aren't playing some major reps this year.
And then Whittemore himself, you know, who, I mean, might as well be a newcomer after being, you know, like, as you mentioned, just completely misused a season ago. I feel like that there's some high ceiling potential for this Mississippi State receiver core. There's the opportunity in this offense, if Chapin is able to give you what you think he can give you, that this could, you know, you've got a potential. Yeah, is there going to be an Elijah Moore in this group? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know, because it's impossible for me to look at this group that doesn't have a lot of SEC production in it and tell you, yeah, there's going to be a guy who catches 85 passes for 1,500 yards. But I'll go and tell you that nobody would have made that prediction for Elijah Moore prior to him doing it. And Jeff Lebby's offense is designed to find that guy and put him in space and get him wide open. And we'll see if they can do that. So I like this young group. I think they could struggle early. The good news is your first three games are non-conference games, so you have a chance to work out some kinks before you go into SEC play. But I like this group, and I like the long-term talent of them. I'm just interested to see what they're able to give you in year one.
Yeah, it's a good enough group that I think can get you by in year one, and not just like get you by. I think being a good offense, being an explosive offense, I think you have the pieces in place. And I'm sure we'll talk about the tight ends too, so I'm not even going to mention those guys. But
yeah,
I think that's going
next week. Yeah,
I think that's going to give State a lift as well. So yeah. I think the passing game is going to be there for State. It's honestly going to improve because he's going to be able to recruit his players, but it's a good group to start. I think it's a really good group as far as the different style of receivers and putting them in different spots. I think it's going to mesh well in year one.
Yeah, it's very high ceiling group for sure. We'll see how they pan out. All right, you know what tomorrow is? It's the Rumblings. It's back after a 1 week absence. Get your questions into us. We will be happy to answer them. Like I said, we'll have some SEC previews this week. We're doing Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky. We'll have all those interviews up on the podcast feed. We'll talk some baseball this week, obviously, and some basketball. The transfer portal, it's time to start heating up there, so I expect to see some movement very soon for Mississippi State, both in and out. So we'll see how all that pans out. Until tomorrow, you guys have a great Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.